We're lucky to be here sharing some of our work with you. Thank you so much for taking your time to be here with us. We have a set of presentations that are all really aligned using predictive analytics for smarter public health and really about transforming practice and how we do our work. I have no relationships to disclose. And from clean water supplies to the polio vaccine, the most effective interventions have been predictive policies that help stop crisis before it starts. And in public health, we can work to leverage seemingly unrelated data to predict who is most susceptible to either birth complications, chronic disease, or the most virulent outbreaks. And it's really about taking all sorts of data and identifying it in a way that's actionable. And so for us, we launched Healthy Chicago in 2011, shortly after the mayor took office, the city's first comprehensive public health agenda. And it was really about transforming the health of our city. And it was across 12 indicators. We had over 200 strategies with 16 accountable metrics across these indicators. Some of them you'll see are traditional public health indicators, some are others. And shortly in the next few weeks or month, the department should be releasing Healthy Chicago 2.0, which is really an expansion to this work with renewed priorities and strategies. So you look in one of these priorities, public health infrastructure, the last one, is one that really underlies all of the priorities in the sense that how do we build capacity for the work in public health that we do with partners, with stretching the skills and talents of the workforce we have within the department, as well as using data more effectively. And in Chicago, we are fortunate to have built relationships with partners across the city, in the civic tech community, in nonprofits and healthcare delivery institutions, and as well with residents who some of you may have attended the talk by Ryan Mansour and others yesterday about how residents are really the new public health workforce of the 21st century. They're tweeting about foodborne illness exposure, and in a lot of ways, the residents of a city can really help improve the health of a city. And so here's a slide that really talks about the indicators of premature mortality, that we spend 90% of our dollars on access to care, although when we look at death before the age of 65, really the determinants, it's 10% of a contribution, and the rest of it is, 90% of it is genetics, environment, and healthy behaviors. And the top four that contribute to 40% of premature deaths are smoking, diet, lack of physical activity, and alcohol. So what I think about is in the context of when I see my patients in the walls of a clinic, there's a lot that happens outside those walls within the 3 months of a diabetic visit that many of us don't understand or even know. And those have real implications for the health of our community. Now, predictive analytics is old news, not for healthcare, but certainly for these folks, Amazon, Netflix, your credit score, and even Canadian Tire, who had a number of ways to try to design correlations around credit card payment. And what they looked at was who are those folks most likely to pay on credit once they've bought goods from Canadian Tire. And one of the most interesting ones they found was related to felt tips on the bottom of chairs. So those folks who were more likely, who bought felt tips to put on the bottom of chairs were more likely to pay their bill on time, always. Very interesting. Folks that went to bars were less likely. Folks that went to the dentist were more likely than that. So there's all sorts of correlations that are happening that are providing insight for decision making. And it's not just about causation, right? We get caught up in this notion of is correlation and causation the same thing? Correlation doesn't equal causation, and do we need to have causation in order to make a decision? So this is really the predictive analytics arc, and it talks about starting with the kind of raw data, and as you mature the analytics, what happens with the competitive advantage? This is how industry looks at and has looked at predictive analytics for years, and to the point of what happened, right? That's what we try to understand. Why did it happen? What will happen? And what is the best that could happen? And now, in healthcare, predictive analytics, some would characterize as new, that healthcare has come late to that game. But there is a lot of opportunity and promise for it in the work that we do. And there's all sorts of other data, particularly all this social media data, that is being integrated with non-health data, health data, and personal personal health information to make correlations. Now, this is a map of asthma tweets from across the world. And so, University of Arizona partnered with Parkland Hospital in Dallas. And what they said is, we want to better predict how we should allocate resources in the emergency room at Parkland Hospital for people with asthma. And so they developed an algorithm with natural language processing, machine learning, using Twitter data, using claims data, and air quality data from the Dallas region, and designed a model with keywords out of the tweets being around inhaler, shortness of breath, asthma, and several others, and predicted a 75% accuracy which patients were going to be the ones that would come to the ER that day. And so, you know, that would have been a hard notion to understand before pulling that data together and building the model and testing it. Now, at the Chicago Department of Public Health, I'm fortunate to work with a great team, the folks you see here at this table, and Matt Roberts and Julie Nowinski, who are here in the audience, to really accelerate our work in analytics. And Ryan developed with us this strategy and innovation. So how do we start with an issue? Because not every question is susceptible to predictive analytics. And so you need to be thoughtful about the kind of question you're asking and whether analytics can really address that question. So identifying the issue, building the internal team to do the research, and then identifying the partners. And you'll see the theme throughout our work that we work with partners, and partners are critical to the work that we do in the city, particularly on no budget, but also to build capacity and tell the story. And strengths and opportunities and positive deviance is really looking at, you know, in situations where things work, why does it work? And applying that to situations where it doesn't work. Generating the ideas, building the proof of concept and the prototype, piloting through either some sort of randomized controlled trial or some other method, and then deciding whether this is a model to incorporate into business practice. And this is really the framework that we've developed, the Informatics Application Development Predictive Analytics Framework, and you'll hear about some of this work going forward. Now, we tried, and what I'll talk about in the next few slides is really how we applied this notion to breast cancer. And breast cancer mortality in Chicago is significant. Really, we're seeing black women in Chicago were dying at a rate of 62% greater than white women at a significant gap. And this is something that traditional public health was trying to address related to screening and getting people access to care and follow-up. And we've seen over, this was 2007, but since 2007, we've seen some of that disparity close. So that the disparity is now 40% as opposed to 62%. So we're making some progress, but there's more work that we need to do. And we know that the African-American women in Chicago are carrying the greatest burden when it comes to breast cancer mortality, premature mortality due to breast cancer. And by targeting in communities where breast cancer hits hardest, we hope to close the disparities faster and save lives. And so we took our community surveillance data and identified the zip codes where premature mortality due to breast cancer was the highest. And we brought that data together with a partner, Civis Analytics. Now, Civis Analytics is a group that came out of some folks who had worked at the Obama campaign. And during that campaign, the analysts studied voters in every U.S. precinct and used a specific set of questions, and were able to determine the characteristics of supporters and whether they were persuadable or not. The staff then conducted a direct mail campaign geared toward them, and then they targeted the undecided voters as well. And in Chicago, when this group, Civis, came up, they wanted to identify who were the folks most likely to be uninsured, because we were starting to ramp up the Affordable Care Act enrollment piece and wanted to target those likely to be uninsured and try to get them coverage. And so this data for this map comes from multiple public and proprietary data sources, including the 2009-2011 American Community Survey and the 2011 Small Area Health Insurance Estimate, as well as proprietary survey data from Civis Analytics. And Civis Analytics uses this to build a block-level model of the uninsured, which is the basis of this map. And any census tract with fewer than five people in the 2010 census was grayed out. And so Civis also used their own survey findings to build an algorithm to predict with confidence where by neighborhood uninsured are more likely to cluster. And so we really brought this data and model together with our community surveillance data to identify where we wanted to target, and then developed a mail campaign, very similar to political campaigns, tested mailing by focus group, and sent this mailing to 5,000 women that were identified through the model. And these were the women who were most likely to be uninsured and die from premature mortality due to breast cancer. And so, you know, it was a serious problem. African American women weren't getting screened, and so we tried a different than traditional approach. And finding patterns with large data sets was the idea. And so this allowed us to connect those most likely to be uninsured of breast cancer screening in communities that need it most. Now, the city had made an investment in one of the hospitals in that community to do breast cancer screening and follow-up. And so really they were the folks that were targeted to that location. And so in the first week, 100 women had inquired about getting access to screening, and then ultimately in the next few weeks, 31 women got screened. And so the mailer really was the first part of an organizing campaign to educate residents on the importance of getting mammography screening. And this was really based in terms of who it was sent to on the US PTF guidelines. So 50 to 75 in the zip code areas that we identified. And so, you know, for Chicago, this is really, public health office is a great opportunity to use our data better, share with the public and our partners, and then leverage data to create policy systems and environmental change. And so for Chicago, the Department of Public Health, predictive analytics is not the future. We think it's already here. Thank you so much.